out. This week's episode of Magnifier, we're joined by a real estate agent, singer, songwriter, producer, Blow. What is going on, Devon?
What's up, man? What's up? How you doing?
Good. Cruising the streets looking for business?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Hey, business never sleeps.
So listen, we know each other because we both work with Agent Hub 360. We both started working with them around the same time. I'm actually interviewing Kelly tomorrow, funny enough. But for all of our listeners, I'll let you introduce yourself. I kind of dropped a little bit of, obviously I have some synergy with you being in the music business for a long time. So I'm definitely hear about that side of your life, but let's get into it. Give us a little spiel about you.
All right. Well, about little old me, I'm Devontae Blow. I'm all the way up in Washington State, in Bellingham specifically, the birthplace of EXP. So shout out to EXP Realty. Yeah. But I was actually born in California. And raised in Whidbey Island. So we moved up from California to Washington State via military. The military brought us up to a place called Whidbey Island, which is, I believe, the longest island inside of the continental U.S. And it's a, there's a military base, a Navy base there that I grew up on. And we were there for a very long time. I didn't move out of that place until about 2020, COVID shut everything down, and I was like, yo, let's get up out of here, man. But I grew up super, super religious home. My grandparents were pastors. Parents had me at a young age. I'm the oldest of 20 children.
No.
Yes.
That's a record for me. I've never met anyone that's had guns. Wow.
Right? I'm arguably, well, not arguably, it's definitely, I'm the most handsome one out of all of us as well. So, you know, I have big shoulders, man. I carry a lot of responsibilities.
Well, that's a big reputation to keep, yeah.
You know, it's tough, man. But outside of that, I'm a husband. I'm a father. My wife is amazing. She graduated from LSU. She is a mental health therapist, so she has her master's degree. My son is 11, going into the sixth grade tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it, man. And we were fortunate enough to bring in my wife's little sister, who just turned 16. We brought her from, you know, not so great area, and she lives with us now. So, you know, we're able to give her some sort of stability and, you know, let her be a kid. So that's been amazing and a huge adjustment for everybody. But honestly, man, I'm just a brother out here, man, living a blessed life.
So how'd you get into real estate? I'm sure there's something to do with it. If we start peeling back the layers, you know, having so many siblings, wanting to help people. I'm sure there's a lot of that in business. What were you doing?
Absolutely. So I was actually working at a restaurant for a very long time, for about 8 years. And this is back on Whidbey Island. And around for 8 years, and about around year six, I was like, dude, there's more for me out there. But I just couldn't take the leap. It was just weird. And so when COVID actually happened, it shut down the restaurant. I believe it was March 13th or March 19th. I'll never forget it. That's when, like, we got the order here in Washington to shut down pretty much everything. And in a weird way, I was so relieved because I was like, all right, cool. This is my chance to go out and do something that I really want to do. And so I was looking for something. I was searching for something. And then I found this guy. His name's Tim Cornwell. This guy has changed my life. I found him online. I think he's just running some ads. And he was like, you know, talking to people who want to get into real estate. And he was just sharing his vision. He was like, you know what? Hey, if you're a go-getter, if you really want to, you know, change your life, come talk to me. And so I went. I drove all the way up to Bellingham to meet him. It's about an hour away. And I just fell in love with his vision. I fell in love with his heart, because a lot in this industry, a lot of people are about themselves, you know. And so he was one of the few guys that was like, you know what? Hey, I've been in this for over 10 years. I want to show you everything that I know. I want to give you all my tips and tricks, and I want you to be successful. And that was a changing point for me. I was like, okay, I never really thought about real estate. And so I was like, hey, I'm all in. I don't care if he was selling Cutco knives. The brother sold me, man. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think that speaks to at least the impression I have of you from such a short period of knowing you. I think that definitely speaks to that you are, you know, so resilient and strong-minded that you got into real estate during COVID, when a lot of agents were getting out. You know, I think that's a really brave thing to do. And I definitely would love to hear a bit more about your early days in the industry, because it's not going to be the typical trend line of what someone normally does when they get into the business, right? You've got to deal with all of those new situations that no one's had to deal with before.
Yeah. So it was wild. So I really didn't know, honestly, I didn't know what I was getting into. And I think that was for the best. Like, there was a lot of people getting out, but there's actually like a huge influx of people getting in because they saw like how easy it was at the time. Right. So what you had was, I just parked so I could talk freely. You had a lot of people see, you know, a lot of people saw like, oh my gosh, everybody wants to buy a house because interest rates were so low. So a lot of people got into real estate trying to make a quick buck. That was never really my go-to. I didn't know that. I went into it ignorant of what was going on. I just knew that, hey, I wanted to help people on a bigger scale than just serving them, you know, Italian food, right? And so the biggest thing about the early 2020, 2021, 2022 was it was easy, but it was horrible at the same time. I had, so my second clients ever, Thomas and Rebecca, shout out to them. I love them. They're awesome. We wrote, and we're fortunate. This is like a rarity around this time. We wrote 3 offers. First offer, they really loved the house. We got beat out. There was 14 different offers. Second offer, we wrote, there was 25 different offers out of this house. Third offer, and we lost both of them. The third offer we wrote was, there was, 14 different offers. And we got this house. And it wasn't even the highest price. It was just the conditions that we put. And it was the love letter, right? And so, you know, giving them a call and saying, hey, guys, I know that we've been seeing so many houses. I know that, you know, we've lost out on two other offers. We got this one. And to see the look on their face, man, I was like, that's why I do it, you know? And so it was such a tough road, because you're showing houses are going on the market on Thursday and pending by Friday morning, right? So it was so tough and it was so tedious, because you're like, it's like, really, you just got to get in and see this house. And so I kind of appreciate today's market. I kind of appreciate where you have time to go show houses and you have time for people to think about the investment that they're making, and they don't have to spend $100,000-$150,000 above list price to get a house that they dislike, you know? So it was tough, dude. I know a lot of people want those interest rates back, but I don't want those back because of what it did to people, man. That was rough. It was super rough.
Yeah, it did create a bit of a strange atmosphere. My area, that, you know, the starter homes were now going for what the top homes used to go for a couple of years before, right? And it's kind of still the case where I am right now. But you know, so you got in. How was it as a new agent? Because I'm sure there are quite a few listeners that are new to the business. Like, what was that going in? Because you were competing with, you know, the multiple offers and that kind of thing. How did you adjust to having the quote-unquote experience that the other agents had? Did you meet certain people, the team leaders? You know, how did you kind of get that knowledge at a fast pace?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is, if you're a new agent or, you're newer into the business, honestly, I would admonish you to join a team. Because there are just going to be things that you just don't know. You just don't know what you don't know, right? And so one of the biggest things that helped me stand out was talking to my team members or my team leaders, hey, this is the situation. What can I do? Because otherwise, all you know is, hey, waive all your contingencies and put in the highest bid that you can. And you're spending money that's not your money. You know what I mean? Like, and what if something happens to the house 6 months later? Dude, that's on you. You know what I mean? Not only financially, but on your conscience. Like, you told these people to do this. And so there was a lot of times where we didn't waive our inspection. You know, it was a love letter. It was connections that I had and the transparency I had to the listing agent, you know, that was accepting the offers. So not only did I do that, I called the agent before I even show a house. I called the agent. Hey, I have some clients. I give them a little backstory. This is, you know, them. They're the Johnsons. They're moving from Colorado, looking for a perfect starter home. Yours fits, you know, honestly, about 8 out of the 10 things that they told me. We're going to go see it. I anticipate us writing an offer. Number one, would you be okay with sending me a text if you have any offers in hand, or if you, you know, if you get any offers in the meantime? Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. We'll take care of you. And then I also follow up right after the showing, I send them a text. Hey, they loved it or they hated it, right? Hey, they loved it. We're going to be writing an offer. Expect the offer in the next hour, hour and a half. You know, but just being super communicative. So that's number one, because I've been on the listing side where I've gotten an offer from somebody that hasn't shown the house, has never spoken to me. Like, I don't even know who this person is. It's like, I don't know if I want to pick you, you know, because who are you? And you didn't even show the house. And so not only that, but right after I send the offer to the listing agent, I also have the lender call the listing agent as well. And so the lender will say, hey, this is blah, blah, blah with XY Bank. You know, just want to tell you about the Johnsons. So I have them already underwritten. They're W-2 buyers, very strong, work at Boeing. I can tell you there will be no hiccups. Like, I have everything that I need. And so really just want a lot of communication and a lot of like, okay, I've heard the Johnsons over and over again. There's something about this offer. Let's look at it. And dude, I don't care if it's illegal or not or legal. I don't know where it is in Washington, but write that love letter and I'm going to send the love letter. You know, I know I've heard of some states that it's illegal. And I'm like, dang, that sucks, dude, because I'm sending it.
Yeah. I mean, so many times I've had that where the agent's been, yeah, it was the letter that sold me, you know, and that's how it is. So going back to that the way of communicating with the agent, is that something you kind of did intuitively, or were you kind of like not instructed, but you kind of guided to do that? That's a great move.
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both for sure, because I you know, intrinsically, I love talking to people. So like, I'm going to talk to you. But then, you know, with having Tim and other, you know, people that have been in it longer than me, they're like, hey, you know, yes, talk to them, but be very precise and targeted when you're talking to them. You know what I mean? So it's really important. You know, you obviously want to know some information before you go into it. So asking, number one, if they have offers in hand is huge, because then that creates a sense of urgency if they do or if they don't. But then two, asking them, hey, would you be okay being open and honest with me about if you have an offer coming in? So, you know, just showing them that you care instead of it just being another transaction.
So what have you done in terms of marketing? This is a marketing podcast. We kind of cross the whole gambit of real estate though. What are you doing currently? Anything you're going to be doing? Anything you're changing? Let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, man. So at first I was like running ads and everything, trying to get, you know, all the Facebook people to know, like, and trust me. And it just didn't really work, man. It's just not, you know, I didn't work it. How about that? It works for a lot of people. I didn't work it. So what I'm finding very, very successful right now is just doing, you know, videos. So I'm doing like interviews with, you know, local who's, you know, like the person that owns a big restaurant out here, or a guy that, you know, my trainer who's, you know, he's kicking everybody's butts, but he's making everybody fit, you know, things like that, just adding value to people. So like introducing my audience to people who can add value to them, whether that be an inspector, talking to an inspector about things, talking to lenders, talking to restaurant owners and things like that. So that has been really good. Because if I just go on there and I'm like, hey, I'm a real estate agent, buy with me, let's go, let's buy this house, you know, that's kind of boring, man. So I show people a lot of other aspects of, you know, what's going on in today's world. And what happens is then people start to like, they anticipate that. They're like, holy crap. Hey, man, when's this next video coming out? Oh, man. And what's funny is you won't get all the likes. You won't get all the comments. But what happens if you have a conversation with somebody, like, dude, hey, I saw your video last week, man. Bro, I didn't know that about VA loans. Thank you so much for sharing that. Right. So authentic conversations is what I'm doing for marketing right now. I believe, and I'm a high D, so that means, you know, I need to be in front of people. And, you know, I work best in front of people and talking with people. And so I just want to create a way to where people reach out and they're like, hey, I want to have a conversation with you. And that's kind of what I've switched to. So Instagram has been really, really big for my business this year. I think 4 or 5 deals already just this year from Instagram. And then I'll be moving into long form YouTube videos here soon as well.
So interesting then. So the stuff I've seen on Instagram, that's all been, you haven't put that out in long form. It's just been clipped up versions from a conversation.
Yeah, so those are like, you know, straight up conversations just like we're having, like just free form, just asking, you know, I have like a couple questions that I want to ask in my head, but outside of that, I just want to get to know you.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting, you know, you kind of refer to the whole idea of know, like, and trust. And I think that's where a lot of agents go wrong is that people might know who you are from your posts. They might like you because of what you're saying, whatever, but how are they going to trust you if you're not providing any knowledge or value to what you're saying? I think the way you said is definitely a good way of going about it.
Yep. That's how you do it, man.
And so, yeah, any things open, you hit open houses, all that kind of thing. I think that's like the thing that agents hate doing and don't do. And it's a great way of generating business, right?
Man, open houses have saved my bacon last year and this year. So what's cool is, and like knowing your target, right? So I don't do just any open house. Like, you know, I don't do, if it's a house that's been on the market for 100 days and 75 price reductions, that doesn't even get close to my radar, right? So what I'm looking for, I'm in like a luxury, like entry luxury, niche right now. So the houses that are 750 and above, those are the ones that I'm going to. And what I'm looking for is a very specific client who, is a move up buyer. So like, you know, they've experienced an upgrade in their position, you know, at their job. They have a house that is no longer fitting their needs because they have a baby coming along or whatever have you. Those are the families. Those are my target clients. And so I'll go to those open houses with that knowledge of, okay, my client is going to have a house that they need to sell because it no longer serves them. And then they want to move up to, you know, a quasi, you know, entry-level luxury house. And so I'm very targeted. I go to open houses. Number one, it has to be on the market for less than a week. And then two, it has to have certain features that my client would be looking for. But outside of that, dude, open houses, I'll preach all day about going and doing open houses, just going out and being in front of people for sure.
Let's speak a little bit about that idea of having a niche market as an agent. Because I think, you know, when I first got in the business, I was just going after anything and everything. And I think that can create this kind of like scattergun approach where you don't actually hit any targets, right? So let's kind of speak about that and why you chose the niche you chose.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's tough because when you first get in, like, dude, you got to take whatever you can. Right. And I haven't been in for a long time. Like November would be my third year. So it took me about a year and a half to really be like, I need the niche down. Because it's just one of those things where if you're just trying to throw things against the wall and see what sticks, dude, you'll be out of this business in less than a year. Like, you know, the stats are what? 97 or 87% of agents fail within the first year, first 5 years. Like it's, dude, the failure rate is tough, dude. So you have to be targeted. And so the reason why I switched into luxury is because honestly, in the first year, I had two luxury listings and it wasn't by accident. It was because of who I was hanging around. And it was because, you know, kind of how I carry myself, which I'm not trying to sound like, you know, I'm this, you know, really cool guy who's snobby. That was just like my area and like the people, I speak their language. I, you know, I like the things that they like, the affluent, like, you know, stuff like that. So, and I found a process that works that really serves the affluent. So, and it really serves the people that need to move up. So, you know, it's just even breaking it down to the people that I was just talking about, like the people that they're about to have a baby and their house no longer fits them. I created a specific process, you know, to ask the right questions to make sure that we can get the process going, whether that's, hey, you have to sell your house or you can buy and then sell your house. Like I'm asking the right questions and I have this like this form that they fill online to like really like, oh man, I've never thought about that question. Thank you so much. So really, really, really niched into luxury. And then everything about me, man, I had to change, like to personify luxury as well. You know, I mean, all the way down to the car I'm driving, like, you know, I mean, like I can't be selling these people something that I'm not really living. And one thing I'll make one caveat to that is I tell people all the time, listen, luxury is a lifestyle. It's not a price point. So if a $750,000 house to you is your luxury, hey, we're going to go attack that. Because that's your luxury and that's what I want to help you buy. Now, if your luxury is this $2 million, you know, Lakeview house, hey, I'm on that too. You know what I mean? But it's something that in your mind, it's like, this is the lifestyle that I want, not just because it's 2.5. It could be a shack and somebody might like it and that'd be their luxury. I'm helping you. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
I love that. Yeah. So what do you do with the leads that you might generate that, that don't fit that niche? Are you then referring them out to someone else?
Absolutely. You know, there's one-offs, you know, like I'm helping this young guy right now, Preston, who's, man, he is trying his hardest and he can only qualify for like $250,000, right? And in my market, that doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Outside of like the outskirts and beat up homes here and there. And so I'm helping him out. But outside of that, yeah, I'm referring him to the younger agents on the team or to, you know, somebody who specifies in mobile homes or anything like that. It's just, it just works better that way.
I want to switch gears a little bit to mindset because it was something, you know, being in the health coaching space for a long time, it was something I really kind of gravitated towards you when you were talking about your morning routines and stuff like that. I was like, it's one of my people. This guy is dialed in. How do you kind of set yourself up for the day? How do you get yourself in that kind of that mindset to just go and destroy and succeed?
Yeah, you know, growing up, everybody and being the oldest of 20, man, listen, you got to compete. You got to compete, man. Whether that's, you know, trying to get food, you know, get the dinner plate, or if, you know, you wanted seconds, man. If you didn't get up quick, you wasn't getting seconds, you know. So really competing and growing up in sports really, really, really shaped a lot of what I do. So I contribute a lot of my success to playing football and then growing up in a military household. And so growing up in a military household, you have things like it's very militaristic. It's like, you know, these are the things that you do. And so in the morning, it just makes sense to start the day off with the easy win, start the day off with something that you can be proud of. And so, you know, on what, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, those are my gym days. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm waking 5:30 in the morning, I'm waking up and going to the gym for an hour and just really like physically feeling good, but mentally just being able to like work that stuff out, right? And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, what I do is those are my mindset, more of my mind kind of things. And so I'm working on a book right now. And I devote a lot of time to working on that book, or I'm reading other books, or I'm watching like educational things or, you know, motivational things to help me in the morning. So, you know, a lot of people, they'll just do physical, which is great, you know, but where I'm at right now is in a space is I need both. I need physical and mental reps in the morning before I do anything else. It just works, man. It just helps you it helps you live, man.
No, for real. And yeah, it's the one day, one part of the day you can actually control, right? Like when you get up, that's like, no one's going to bother you. You can get to where you need to get to. I think people who wait till the evenings and stuff is very easy to, I'll do more. So let's talk about your music. Like I said, I was in the business for a long time, still dabbling it a little bit. I've heard some of the music you put out. Love it. Great stuff. Firstly, what is it like having two passions at the same time and how you manage your time with that? Because I think that's something people struggle with. They think that they have to give up one passion to follow another. Not quite the
case. Yeah. So again, just growing up in the household that I did, it was a lot of gospel music playing around, a lot of old school R&B. I grew up in my grandparents' house. So, you know, a lot of stuff that was way too old for me, but just fed my soul, man. I attribute a lot, man. Stevie Wonder saved my life, bro. So I think I was nine. I was nine when I got my first Discman. And and I got Stevie Wonder's Greatest Collection, you know, Greatest Hits or whatever. And dude, I tell the story a lot and people laugh at me all the time, but it was almost as if once I started listening to Stevie Wonder, like color had entered the world, bro. Like, you know what I mean, dude? It was just like, oh my gosh, because his music, it wasn't just music. It meant something and you can feel that. And he has this way of turning the hardest things that you can do in music and making it sound easy. And so it spoke to me. And that's when I really found my love and passion for music. So I started playing the trumpet right after that. That was like my first baby. I love it. I still have it to this day. Started playing the trumpet and then started playing the trumpet for my church and then played the drums and then fell in love one day out of nowhere with the piano and the keyboard. And so started playing that. And then I don't know what happened, but I was like, dude, I think I can sing too. And so, you know, got up in front of the church and was singing, and I crushed it. And I was like, holy crap, I do have a voice. And that just launched this love of music, man. And I've been singing songwriting for a very long time now. And I have a couple songs, you know, that are out right now. Most notably, God is in Control is on Spotify. And it has been one of the hardest things to balance those, because real estate is all encompassing, you know. But in that same vein, real estate has fueled a lot of the success that I've had in music as well. You know, I've been able to fly out to Chicago to record a whole album that I haven't dropped yet. But you know what I mean? I've been able to do that. You know what I mean? And before that, working at a restaurant, there was no way that I could do this. You know, so there is a delicate balance, you know, because it's not just real estate and then music. You know, you got to juggle life, dude. Like, I have a family, I have a son, like, I have, you know, responsibilities. And so that's probably been my hardest thing, actually, is trying to find that really good balance. Like I said, I have a whole album that is just sitting on my phone, sitting on the computer, just waiting to be released to the world. And I'm like, you know, but then, you know how we do with music, man. We are worst critics. I'm like, dude, you know what? Hey, I sounded good, but I could sound better on that. You know what I'm saying? So it's tough, but dude, I love it, man. I love collaborating with people. You know, I've done R&B, I've done country, man. You know what I'm saying? I've done obviously gospel, CCM, contemporary Christian music, you know, so pretty eclectic. I just love music, man.
Yeah, so then just, you know, I wanted to follow up. Anytime I know that someone is very involved with their religion, with their faith, I like to give some space to talk about that. How has that impacted you as a businessman, as a family man? I saw on your site you're very involved with the church. What do you do? Can you speak to that a little bit?
So around 21, 22, that's when I was appointed as praise and worship leader over the church. And what's crazy is, like, I was the youngest person on the team, you know, so you have like all these old heads that are like, wait, what? You know, and so I had to grow up pretty quick, man. And I did that for about 7 years until we moved out here. And I took about a year to really just establish myself. But we got connected with CTK out here, Christ the King. And it's been just over a year and a half that we've been actively just going and ministering. And it's been amazing, man. It's really cool to worship with, you know, with others, man. And really, you know, you get to bring your own flavor. One of the things about where I live is it's not the most culturally diverse place that I've ever been. In fact, it's the least culturally diverse place that I've ever lived in my whole life. And, you know, just being able to bring that flavor out here, you know, it's very appreciated. It's welcomed. So that's really awesome. And it leads to a lot of different things, like even in real estate. You know, I've prayed with families before we put in offers. You know, I've prayed over the house after we've closed on the house, and it's, you know, keys day. You know, I'm open about my faith, but I will not shove it down anybody's throat. You know what I mean? At the same time, if you ask me, hey man, there's something about you, man. What is it? I'm giving glory to God for sure, because it's not me. Trust me. On my best of days, I'm least of these. You know what I mean? And if you're openly a brother or a sister, you know what I mean, in the faith, oh man, we could talk about it for all day, you know. I believe, and I'm a huge proponent in showing people versus, you know what I mean, just telling them. Because I'll never beat anybody up with the Bible. That's not my job, you know what I mean? And so I try to show people through, you know, through laughter, through joy, through my own testimony. Like, I'm super open with, you know, the things that I've gone through and how I've overcome it. You know what I mean? And honestly, it's just been God's grace and him placing the right people around me at the right time. So I'm super open about my faith again, but I'll never beat anybody up about it. I'm not a judgmental person at all. Like, for instance, I've never sipped alcohol a day in my life. But, you know, like, last night was one of my homeboys' birthdays, and we went out to a restaurant and they're all having drinks. I don't care. Drink. Let's have a good time. You know, hey, I'm a built-in DD, baby. Use me, you know. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just about having a good time. And then you stand out when you naturally just, you know, just have the love of Christ in you. You stand out and people see that. And then that's what I think what opens the conversation of, dude, what? Man, how can you be so happy? You're going through all this, man. Well, awesome. You know what's really cool? It's the God that I serve, man. You know, and just give God glory that way. I think that speaks way more than, hey, well, John 3:16 says, you know, that blah, blah, blah. Like, don't beat me up with the Bible, man. Just show me love. So that's kind of how I operate.
Love to hear that.
Anyway, man, this has been great. I like to keep this around 30 minutes, so we're right on time. It's been a pleasure getting to know you. I look forward to working with you some more. I think your business is going to skyrocket in the next few years. I got a good, where can people find you? Have you?
Yeah. So I'm all over the place, man, but, follow me on Instagram. I'm not talking about real estate all day. I am there to educate and, you know what I mean? Just have a good time. I will make you laugh too, for sure. At Devontae Blow is pretty streamlined on all platforms. I'm not on Twitter, bro, because it's toxic. But Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Devontae Blow. That's how you'll find me. Yeah, and you can find me on Spotify as well, Devontae Blow.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, definitely go and check that out. Great music. All right, man. Thank you for joining us. It was real fun.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me out.